This recording is to support the study review for SGI New Zealand members. It is based on the lectures of Daisaku Ikeda about Nichiren Daishonin's letter, Attaining Buddhahood in This Lifetime. The reader of this material is Jimmy Wallace. When you hear a bell, this is a quotation from the original Gosho, read by me, Lily Della Porta. Enjoy the lectures.
Chapter 3. If you think the law is outside yourself, you are not embracing the mystic law. To chant Nam-myoho Renge-kyo is to commune with the mystic law. It is a Buddhist practice for fusing our lives with the mystic law. At the same time, it is a battle to conquer the inner darkness that prevents this fusion from taking place. When we vanquish this darkness of illusion and ignorance through faith and become one with the mystic law, the infinite power of this great law unfolds in our lives. This is the immeasurable benefit of chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. Chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo with a seeking spirit and faith is the essence of the practice of chanting established and propagated by Nichiren Daishonin. It is the heart that is most important. The Daishonin asserts, when it comes to chanting, therefore, we should above all strive to summon forth courageous faith to overcome illusion without being defeated by the three obstacles and four devils. Making the cause and effect of attaining Buddhahood the core and inmost essence of our lives. Myoho Renge-kyo is the name of the ultimate mystic truth, and Nam-myoho Renge-kyo is the name of the life state of Buddhas who embody and reveal this truth. Thus, when we chant Nam-myoho Renge-kyo with a seeking spirit and faith, the infinite benefit of Myoho Renge-kyo unfolds in our lives. This is what it means to bring forth the world of Buddhahood. At work here is the principle of cause and effect in a single moment of life, in which faith is the cause and manifesting the life state of Buddhahood is the effect. When we continue chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo through times of both suffering and joy while striving for the happiness of ourselves and others, we can make the cause and effect for attaining Buddhahood, which are themselves contained within the practice of chanting, the core and inmost essence of our lives. When we do so, the indomitable state of Buddhahood emerges within us. This is the meaning of attaining Buddhahood in this lifetime. In his treatise, The Object of Devotion for Observing the Mind, the Daishonin states, Shakyamuni Buddha, who has attained perfect enlightenment, is our own flesh and blood. His practices and resulting virtues are our bones and marrow. He explains that to embrace Myoho Renge-kyo is in itself attaining enlightenment. The power of chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo enables us to actualize cause and effect in a single moment of life, that is, faith, cause, leading to the manifestation of our Buddhahood, effect. Considered in this light, our voice chanting Daimoku is the voice of unshakable faith and seeking spirit that demolishes the inner darkness of ignorance and illusion and sweeps away obstacles and devilish functions. It is also the courageous lion's roar that issues forth from the Buddhahood we have revealed as a result of our Daimoku. The chanting of Nam-myoho Renge-kyo is not only the voice of faith of ordinary people, it is also the voice of Buddhahood. For that reason, we should always try to chant resonant Daimoku with a vibrant and vigorous rhythm like that of a galloping horse. It can also be said that chanting Daimoku is an action by which we affirm that we ourselves are inherently entities of Myoho Renge-kyo. It represents a struggle to return to our true, original selves and tap the innate life force that we have possessed from time without beginning. The Daishonin declares, there is no true happiness for human beings other than chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. This happiness, he says, is the boundless joy of the law. Joy of the law describes the unshakable happiness and peace of mind that is inherent in life and existence itself. To experience this joy means to fully savor and enjoy the infinite life force that is one with the mystic law. The Daishonin states that the only way for us to taste the joy of the mystic law is through chanting Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. The mystic law and incomplete teachings.
Even though you chant and believe in Myoho-renge-kyo, if you think the law is outside yourself, you are embracing not the mystic law, but an inferior teaching. Inferior teaching means those Buddhist teachings other than this sutra, which are all expedient and provisional. No expedient or provisional teaching leads directly to enlightenment. And without the direct path to enlightenment, you cannot attain Buddhahood, even if you practice lifetime after lifetime for countless kalpas. Attaining Buddhahood in this lifetime is then impossible. Therefore, when you chant Myoho and recite Renge, you must summon up deep faith that Myoho Renge Kyo is your life itself.
Given Daimoku's profound meaning, we must always remember when we chant that Myoho Renge Kyo is our life itself. If we lose sight of this point, then no matter how much Daimoku we may chant, we will have departed from the practice of chanting taught by Nichiren Daishonin. Therefore, in On Attaining Buddhahood in This Lifetime, the Daishonin says in stern warning, even though you chant and believe in Myoho Renge Kyo, if you think the law is outside yourself, you are embracing not the mystic law, but an inferior teaching. Inferior here means incomplete. The mystic law is the ultimate truth that is perfect and complete. In contrast, an incomplete teaching sets forth only a partial truth. The above passage contains a profound philosophy that overcomes one of the serious pitfalls that religion tends to succumb to. It also embodies a crucial philosophy of faith for attaining genuine happiness. Religion is generally held to be a universal endeavor to connect the human being to the infinite, absolute, and divine. While this is, in a sense, true, it seems that many religions from the outset postulate a separation between the secular and the divine, and between human beings and gods or Buddhas, and thus seek to bridge that gap. The Daishonin, however, regards teachings of this kind that view the absolute or divine as a separate from human beings as incomplete, citing as an example the provisional pre-Lotus Sutra teaching expounded by Shakyamuni. These teachings do not set forth the principles or practice that enable ordinary people to attain Buddhahood in this lifetime. Rather, they espouse that one must first undergo innumerable kalpas of austere practice before enlightenment can be gained. In the provisional pre-Lotus Sutra teachings, a virtually insurmountable gulf exists between Buddhas and ordinary people. Only a very small handful of exceptional practitioners who, after having undergone austerities for countless kalpas, can even attempt to reach the goal of enlightenment. Moreover, according to these teachings, it is inconceivable for someone who has become a Buddha to go back to being an ordinary person. As a rule, the world where Buddhas dwell is not this strife-filled saha world where ordinary people reside. Buddhas and ordinary people are completely separate. Therefore, as long as such a divide exists between the world of Buddhahood and the nine worlds, that is, the realm of ordinary beings, there is really no way for all people to attain enlightenment. In this worldview, ordinary people and the idealized Buddhas are poles apart, thus leaving ordinary people with no option but to aspire for salvation through the assistance or intervention of such Buddhas. This perceived separation between the nine worlds and the world of Buddhahood is demolished by the Lotus Sutra doctrine of 3,000 realms in a single moment of life. In other words, the teaching that the nine worlds have the potential for Buddhahood and that Buddhahood retains the nine worlds. Here we can see the immense importance of the Lotus Sutra's principle of the mutual possession of the 10 worlds. The Daishonin opened the way to actualizing this latter principle, which is the key to attaining Buddhahood in this lifetime, by establishing the practice of chanting of Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. This constitutes, in its fullest, the most complete form, the teaching of Buddhism that seeks enlightenment for all human beings. Summoning forth and manifesting the Buddha nature. The mystic law is the fundamental law of the universe. In that sense, it has a universality that transcends our individual selves. However, as indicated by its description, as the mystic truth that is originally inherent in all living beings, the mystic law also exists within our lives. It both resides within us and transcends us. Put another way, the mystic law is also inherent in our lives because it is the all-embracing law that pervades everything in the universe. In his writing, How Those Initially Aspiring to the Way Can Attain Buddhahood Through the Lotus Sutra, the Daishonin explains the essence of Myoho-renge-kyo as follows. As for the meaning of Myoho-renge-kyo, the Buddha nature inherent in us ordinary people, the Buddha nature of Brahma, Chakra, and the other deities, the Buddha nature of Shariputra, Magdalayana, and the other voice hearers, the Buddha nature of Manjushri, Maitreya, and the other bodhisattvas, and the mystic law that is the enlightenment of the Buddhas of the three existences are one and identical. This principle is called Myoho-renge-kyo. Not only is Myoho-renge-kyo our own Buddha nature, he says, but it is also the Buddha nature of all heavenly deities, voice hearers, bodhisattvas, and so on. Moreover, this Buddha nature is identical to the mystic law to which the Buddhas of the three existences are enlightened. The Daishonin then goes on to explain that chanting Daimoku is a practice in which we summon forth and manifest the Buddha nature inherent in the lives of all beings of the 10 worlds. Therefore, when once we chant Myoho-renge-kyo, with just that single sound we summon forth and manifest the Buddha nature of all Buddhas, all existences, all bodhisattvas, all voice hearers, all the deities such as Brahma, Chakra, and King Yama, the sun and moon and the myriad stars, the heavenly gods and earthly deities, on down to hell dwellers, hungry spirits, animals, asuras, human and heavenly beings, and all other living beings. This blessing is immeasurable and boundless. And he further states regarding the meaning of chanting Daimoku, when we revere Myoho-renge-kyo inherent in our own life as the object of devotion, the Buddha nature within us is summoned forth and manifested by our chanting of Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. This is what is meant by Buddha. The expression is summoned forth and manifested points to the profound significance of the mystic law. The Daishonin uses a wonderful metaphor to explain this principle of calling forth and revealing the inner Buddha nature. When a caged bird sings, birds who are flying in the sky are thereby summoned and gather around. And when the birds flying in the sky gather around, the bird in the cage strives to get out. The singing of the caged bird refers to the Daimoku chanted by ordinary people who, shackled in the chains of fundamental darkness and earthly desires, arouse faith in the mystic law. In other words, It is Daimoku, chanted with faith, that is determined to win over all obstacles and become happy without fail through the power of the mystic law. The power of such strong, determined Daimoku calls forth the Buddha nature in all living beings. Not only does the Buddha nature of Brahma and Chakra and of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas throughout the universe manifest, but those chanting Nammyoho Renge Kyo, not only does the Buddha nature of Brahma and Chakra and of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas throughout the universe manifest, but those chanting Nammyoho Renge Kyo are also able to sever the chains of fundamental darkness and delusion and reveal their own Buddha nature. In other words, it is the power of our voices, chanting Nammyoho Renge Kyo, that connects our lives with the mystic law pervading all phenomena of the 3,000 realms. In his writing, Letter to Nikkei, the Daishonin further explains the significance of chanting Daimoku through the famous analogy of a mother bird and an egg. He says that the chanting of Nammyoho Renge Kyo is like the warmth of the mother bird. At first, there is nothing inside the egg but liquid. But as a result of being warmed by the mother bird, the beak, eyes, and feathers are formed. Eventually, the baby bird breaks through the shell and hatches, and is soon flying into the sky like its mother. In this analogy, the substance within the egg represents the Buddha nature of living beings, while the mother bird represents the Buddha who leads others to enlightenment. The chanting of Nammyoho Renge Kyo is at once the voice of faith of ordinary people and a function of the life state of Buddhahood. The most important admonition that the Daishonin makes with regard to attaining enlightenment through chanting Nammyoho Renge Kyo is that we must not view the law as something outside ourselves. If we think the law exists externally, then we are reverting to the kind of divide between Buddhas and ordinary people found in the pre-Lotus Sutra teachings. Perceiving that one's own life is Nammyoho Renge Kyo. The Daimoku of Nammyoho Renge Kyo has immeasurable beneficial power. Jose Toda, the second Sokogakkai president, described the infinite power of the mystic law as follows. It is like lying sprawled on your back in a wide open space looking up at the sky. All that you wish for immediately appears. No matter how much you may give away, there is always more. It is never exhausted. Try and see if you can attain this state of life. Indeed, Nammyoho Renge Kyo can be likened to a wish-granting jewel. How can we develop the boundless state of life that enables us to bring forth the necessary strength when it's needed? President Toda often used to say, if you really want to achieve such a state of life, you have to fight with every ounce of your being for the Lotus Sutra, for Kosen Rufu. It is the spirit to strive forever together with the Buddhas of the three existences and with Brahma and Chakra, wherever one might find oneself in the universe, to actualize a world of happiness and peace dedicated to value creation by helping people overcome misery and misfortune and the sufferings of birth, aging, sickness and death. Such was the vast and untrammeled spirit of my mentor. Throughout everything, Mr. Toda steadfastly continued to seek the law that exists nowhere but within our own lives. And he stressed the importance of living true to oneself. His starting point was his profound realization in prison that the Buddha is life itself and his awakening to his identity as a bodhisattva of the earth. He also often spoke of the spirit of faith we need in order to perceive the mystic law within us, saying, you have to be resolved that Nammyoho Renge Kyo is your own life. Or, propagating the mystic law in the latter day means firmly believing that your life is nothing apart from Nammyoho Renge Kyo. This is the spirit that the Daishonin teaches when he says, when you chant Myoho and recite Renge, you must summon up deep faith that Myoho Renge Kyo is your life itself. A universal religion for the happiness of all humankind. Generally speaking, religions expound some infinite and eternal entity that transcends both human beings and the impermanence of this world, using such terminology as God or law. This infinite and eternal entity may variously be regarded by different religions as a source of fear and awe, an object of adoration, a great void of emptiness, or a wellspring of all-embracing love. The Daishonin saw the power of the mystic law that encompasses and sustains all things in the universe as existing within human beings, and he established a means for actually manifesting that law in their lives. During my second lecture at Harvard University in September 1993, I proposed three areas where Mahayana Buddhism could contribute to modern civilization. 1. In fostering the creation of peace. 2. In paving the way toward the restoration and rejuvenation of humanity. 3. And in providing a philosophical basis for the symbiotic coexistence of all things. In connection with the second point, I stressed the important significance of the approach of Nichiren Daishonin's Buddhism, which teaches neither a one-sided reliance on the individual's own power nor on external power. This perspective has resonated deeply with many scholars. According to the view of the Daishonin's Buddhism, it is only by praying to and fusing with the external power of the eternal, unchanging truth, transcending our limited, finite selves, that we can wholly activate our own power. At the same time, however, this eternal, all-encompassing external power actually exists inherently in our lives. The Daishonin writes, "People are certainly self-empowered, and yet they are not self-empowered. People are certainly other-empowered, and yet they are not other-empowered." What this means, I believe, is that by relying neither exclusively on external power nor on the power of the self, we can manifest the transcendent power that exists within us. It is chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo that enables us to do this. In this way, the Daishonin's Buddhism opens up a broad new vision of a universal religion for the happiness of all humankind, one that transcends the approach of teachings that strictly divide external power and the individual's own power, and that emphasize one over the other.
Excellent.